Hello, this is Charlie Murphy, and you're listening to Queer Music Heritage.
When we were born, they tried to cover our eyes. They tried to tell us all what to see. We are discovering this did not work, for we are born to be free. It's a gay spirit singing in our hearts, leading us through these troubled times. A gay spirit moving round this land, calling us to a time of open love. When we were born, they tried to put us in a cage, then tell our bodies what to feel.
This is J.D. Doyle, and welcome to a special feature interview of Queer Music Heritage. My September 2008 show focused on the history of the landmark album Walls to Roses, and as part of it, I interviewed Charlie Murphy. Now, there's much more to his music career than that album, so naturally I took that opportunity to ask him about all of it. This segment opened with his song, Gay Spirit, but if you've already listened to the Walls to Roses segment this month, you'll know right away that this is a different version of that song, faster and more rock-oriented in its production. That came from Charlie's 1981 album, Catch the Fire. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself, so let's get to my interview with Charlie. I caught up with him when he was working in London and asked him if he was there for his work with the organization Power of Hope.
Well, yeah, I started a youth organization about 13 years ago that brings artists and activists and creative people together with young people from all walks of life. And it's about youth, helping youth find their voice and their sense of purpose. And it's spread in the region of the country where I've been living for the past 20 years, near Seattle and into Canada. And so now that organization's up and running, and I'm working internationally with different organizations that work with youth. So I do trainings and programs with teens. So in Uganda, I'm working with organizations that work with teenagers with HIV/AIDS and orphans.
Wow. That sounds like great work.
It's a honor to do it.
How did you get started in music?
How did I get started in music? I think from an early age I was interested in music. I started playing guitar when I was a kid. I was impacted by not just music, but how music connected with the times. And, you know, I'm 55 now, and so, you know, people like Bob Dylan and Simon and Garfunkel and people like that were big influences when I was growing up. And I just learned to play guitar, and then I think in my college years I began writing songs. Never considered a career in music, however. And then moved to Virginia after college and began working there and started writing more songs and decided to do that more full-time. And that was around the time when the gay movement and other movements were starting, and I felt that music was a good way to participate in helping make change.
These next three questions are part of the Walls to Roses segment, but as there may be folks just listening to this segment, and for completeness, I'm including them here as well. In the 70s, there was a well-established women's music movement. Why do you think nothing similar ever developed for men's music?
No, I think that there were attempts. You know, there were men's conferences around that time, which, became a platform for me and my music. And but it never sort of developed in a similar way as the women's music movement did.
Personally, I think the women had the need for the feminist bonding, so they were more organized.
Yeah, there was more behind what they were doing. Maybe more of a need.
What was it like touring in those early days? What kind of gigs or crowds?
It was a lot of fun. Gosh, you know, you're taking me way back, because we're talking what? We are talking the 70s. I did a lot of touring on my own, and then I did touring with friends, you know, people like Blackberry and Chris Tanner and other folks. Connected with the people on the Walls to Roses record. I think that's the first recording I ever did. And
that was my next question. How did you get involved with Walls to Roses?
Good question. I'm trying to remember, because I was living in Virginia at the time. I had left my position with the Mental Health Services of Virginia and living in a cabin in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and had more spacious time on my hands, and so I got much more into songwriting. And I actually totally, how did I connect with that? I can't even remember. Somebody involved with it heard me or heard of me and invited me to be a part of it.
Well, I know Willie Sardillo said that they were, you know, seeking out submissions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I heard of it, and maybe I submitted something, and I think that's how I got involved. Gosh, you know, I'll have to think about that. It's so long ago.
And what did you learn from that experience?
What did I learn? I learned that there was a network of caring, supportive men, both gay and straight, that were capable of supporting one another. And I learned more about my own voice as a musician. Yeah, it was my first project. I mean, this is something I haven't thought about in such a long time.
Yeah, it's been about 30 years. Looking back on that album from 30 years, What are your thoughts of it?
My thoughts about it are that it was a really sincere, a heartfelt offering, and I thought, you know, for its time, it broke some ground.
Well, I do too. I've always considered it a landmark album because it was gay and straight, openly queer material in a various artist album.
Yeah, yeah. I really appreciated the gay and straight part of it. I think that was unique and important at the time.
During those few days working with that collective, was there an artist you particularly bonded with?
Oh, gosh. You know, I just remember, for me, it was just kind of like a feast of wonderful people. You know, Charlie King, Jeff Morgan, you know, Willie was such a wonderful man, Fred Small, you know, all of these people, and all of the people involved. It was a very, very good-natured group of people.
In 1980, Ginny Clemons produced an album project called Gay and Straight Together, and it again was a blend of, as the title tells us, both gay and straight artists, including Charlie King, Kristen Lems, Paula Wolowitz, and others, and it was also released on the Folkways label. You contributed the song If You've Got Gayness. Can you tell us about it?
It was nothing more than it was an expression of how I felt at the time. You know, it was the time for me of coming out, and not only that, not just a, you know, that sort of personal process, but feeling that, you know, in a broader perspective, gay men's voices were important in the broader sphere of redefining masculinity and making more spaces, more ways for men to be men. And I felt like that the voice of gay people was important not just among ourselves, but in that broader movement.
They may try to cure you, try to steal your truth away. But I expect any damn fool to know good love is here to stay, yeah. No, it ain't that easy, this old world ain't made that way. When you're setting free the love that brings a brighter day. And if you got gayness, just don't let it die inside you. And if you got gayness, bring it out and you will grow. No wonder why they fear us, try to chain our love with law. If everyone in this land shared love, this rotten system would surely fall. So if you're feeling crazy, just like you don't belong, liberate your gayness. Brothers and sisters are here to help you along. And if you got gayness, just don't let it die inside you. And if you got gayness, bring it out and you will grow. The struggle ain't for nothing, all our work is not in vain. There's plenty of joy in the freedom from those worn out domination roles they play. Now I know better than anyone else what feels right with me. For me there ain't no loving like sweet gay loving, how it sets my spirit free. And if you got gayness, just don't let it die inside you. And if you got gayness, bring it out and you will grow. That we can love as equals, that's what's really got them scared. Their bonds are built up on power that they don't know how to share. God won't save all of the children
from the family plan. So we're liberating gayness all across this land. And if you got gayness, just don't let it die inside you. And if you got gayness, bring it out and you will grow. Bring it out and you will glow.
Tell me about your album, Catch the Fire.
Yeah, Catch the Fire. I developed a body of material and became friends with people like Jeff Morgan. Jeff, who offered to produce the record and invited me to Nashville, where he was living at the time. And, Jeff was really instrumental in setting that up. And it was a great experience. We recorded it in the Pete Drake Studios, which I've discovered is kind of a landmark in Nashville. It's where Elvis started recording. And so Jeff, being well-known as a songwriter in Nashville, was able to connect with other studio musicians there. And I just remember just the excitement and just good feeling amongst the whole group of people who came together. Some of the musicians I had never met before, some I brought with me. And so what I remember about that is just what a great experience it was.
When I first started doing my show, Queer Music Heritage, and for almost about 3 years, I used Gay Spirit to open the show. Can you talk about that song?
It was simply an expression of my exuberance and enthusiasm at the time for my own, self-discovery and what I thought gay people could offer to the wider world.
Can you tell me about the song Double Love?
Yeah, that came out of some reading and some correspondence of the time. There's a guy named Mitch Walker who was writing about gay spirituality. And I think that's a term that he created. But this idea that there's a different archetype involved when two men come together. The sort of traditional archetype for union is, union of opposites. And double love was more of an idea that just trying to describe that different archetype that's there when two men come together.
I put my arms around his waist, all the sounds our loving makes. I kiss a smile upon his face. We fill with heat when we embrace. And I'm in love with double love, a warm and tender love. I'm in love with double love, flowing back through me. I trace my fingers down his sides. He presses closer and gently sighs. I linger long aside his thighs. I kiss all the places where pleasure hides. And I'm in love with double love, an ancient primal love. Oh, in love with double love, flowing back through me. Quiets down, we drift along with our breathing sound. Two men in a gentle place, held inside love's embrace. And I'm in love with double love, a warm and a tender love. In love with double love, flowing back through me. And I'm in love with double love. in love with double love, flowing back through me.
Can you tell me about the song Dear Men?
Yeah, that was inspired by a poem by gay poet Aaron Sheeran. I might even remember the Midnight Sun, a book of poetry that he wrote at the time, and I forget what exactly sparked me about that, but I do remember, it was sort of a plea to men in general to look at the ways that we were behaving in the world, which wasn't serving life.
They gassed us in Germany. It was a quarter million or more. And we burned with the witches. We were the faggots for the fire. And I wonder how many more have died, struggling to survive, fighting for freedom, fighting for our lives. Dear men, lay your armor down. Dear men, let your softness flow. Come on in, let shining in this land where true love is a crime. Gay love is a fire that burns for true equality. That fire is raging. It's the light in your brother's eyes. Come on and let go of all of the deadly.
what was the significance of the album title, Catch the Fire?
You know, sometimes just titles are just an energetic frame, you know. For me, it was, I feel like that album had a lot of spirit. And I look at myself in my early days and just sort of how on fire I was. And, you know, I'm still on fire, but in different ways. You mature through the years. And so I think it was just sort of an expression of wanting to spread a certain spirit.
I like that you called the label Good Fairy Productions.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a collective that I formed in Seattle when I moved there, and we produced concerts and distributed records.
I want to slip in another song from the Catch the Fire album, and it's a short one called No More.
No more, no more, Three Mile Islands. Turn back the danger from this land. Our children, our lives are being held in hostage while they deal death for profit and poison our land. We are rising up strong, now we are rising up angry. Gonna shut down the terror of the nuclear plan. No more, no more, Three Mile Island. Turn back the danger from this land. Our children, our lives are being held in hostage while they deal death for profit and poison our land. We are rising up strong, now we are rising up angry. Gonna shut down the terror of the nuclear plan. We people don't want this nuclear danger. Working together, we turn towards the sun. Armed with the spirit of the earth who sustains us, join hearts in this battle that must be won. Armed with the spirit of the earth who sustains us, join hearts in this battle that must be won.
By 84, you were working with Jamie Sieber. And
Jamie Sieber, yeah.
Yeah. She's very important to your music from this point. Can you tell me about her a little?
Yeah, Jamie and I met through a mutual friend in Seattle, and I just thought her cello playing was gorgeous, and she's a classically trained cellist, and she had been working in a small folk trio at the time, and we got together, and just there was a tremendous personal simpatico. She's still a very dear friend, and it began a long musical relationship, and she's put out now several CDs of her work since the band ended, and she's just a magnificent composer and performer, and somebody that's very dear to me. And we had just many, many great adventures together with our band.
You and she did Canticles of Light in 84. Mm-hmm. According to the liner notes, it was a cross-cultural experience.
Totally. Yeah, I had written a lot of songs for sort of group singing, and I thought an interesting way of recording them would be to work with a black gospel choir. I've always had a love for gospel music. I just find it so energetic and passionate, and I heard a black youth choir led by a woman named Patronelle Wright, and approached her with the material, and she thought it was great, and I recorded that with an ensemble from the gospel choir, and that began a wonderful relationship with that group.
From that album, I think a song that is kind of typical of the collaboration is Calling On the Spirits. Can you talk about that?
I don't know. I feel like the song is sort of self-explanatory. It's more of a prayer, more of a plea, positing the notion that, you know, that there are spirits of the future waiting to come in, and they're hoping that we keep it together. And it's a plea to those who came before us, you know, trying to connect the sense of humanity along a continuum.
Calling on the spirits of the future. Calling on the wise ones of the past. Calling on the present generation. Help us keep our feet upon
Find the strength to carry on. Calling on the spirits of the ancients, calling on the wise ones of the past. Illuminate the vision of the people. Help us keep our feet upon the path. Calling on the guardians of the planet, calling on our people now alive. With vision of the past and memory of the future, claiming our power to survive. Calling on the spirits of the future, calling on the lifetimes yet to come. Send courage to the present generations. Help us find the strength to carry on. Calling on the spirits of the ancients, calling on the wise ones of the past. Illuminate the vision of the people. Help us keep our feet upon the path. Calling on the guardians of the planet, calling on our people.
Fierce Love came along soon after that with a little different musical style, a dance beat behind a couple of them.
Well, you have really followed my music. You're well researched here.
I am. Thank you.
Very good. So you were asking about Fierce Love?
Yes.
Fierce Love is, it's kind of an example of the kind of passionate political songs. I mean, I feel like I've always wanted to use music to help spread a movement to encourage people to engage with the world outside of themselves. And this idea of finding hope in despairing times has always been a kind of a central issue with me and my music. I think that, you know, humanity continues. I mean, the threats are mounting, but we live in very unique times, you know, and I think fierce love is a sort of reaching for a sort of core passion or sort of compassion for humanity and our condition.
Stone. You alone will not move a whole nation. you can touch a single soul.
Free, South Africa must be free.
To ease the suffering, must you know their names? Children are the ones now making history. We see their many faces on TV. If courage was contagious, we'd all be on the move. If fear was an illusion, we would hit the streets.
Free, South Africa must be free.
Rumors of the Big Wave with the Total Experience Gospel Choir.
Yeah, that one's Song of the Year in the Northwest Area Music Awards.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there's your gospel touch there.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, now we're up to Burning Times. Tell me about that group and the name of the group.
Well, the name of the group. Well, it was a group that I formed with Jamie, and we had quite a fun run of it in Seattle. And toured, you know, Central America. Jamie and I toured in China, and the band toured in the Soviet Union and other places. We seemed to made it to Nicaragua. We seemed to hit all the communist countries. That wasn't our plan, but kind of how it worked out. And let's see, the name of the band. Wouldn't the kind of come up with a poetic frame for what the heart and soul of the music was about, which was somehow speaking to the nature of the times that we live in, a time of transition, of major transition. So,
the band toured all over, and I've seen the music described as political pop.
Mm. There was, yeah, not all of it was political. It kind of ran the gamut, and certainly not all of it was pop. We always had a hard time to describe what we did. I called it poetic eclectic rock.
Okay. Did the message carry well to other countries?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did.
The song Burning Times appears on Catch the Fire and again in 1990 on Rumors of the Big Wave. Can you tell us about the song?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Burning Times, I had done a lot of research about the Inquisition. You know, I had heard, I think through Aaron Shearn was the first one who wrote about this that I became aware of, that gay men were part of the Inquisition, too, and that really piqued my interest. And I began to see how the rise of organized Christianity, and particularly in the Roman Catholic Church, historically, how that uprooted an earth-centered spirituality, which was prevalent throughout Europe. You know, we talk about sort of getting back to our more indigenous roots, and I think that, for me, the Inquisition explained a lot in terms then of how European people then behaved in the world. We went through our own sort of Holocaust experience in Europe with the Inquisition, and I think that that had a decisive imprint on how we developed and our separation from the earth and our defining of female as evil and looking at a sort of sky father-centered spirituality which negated a reverence for the earth. And I think it explains so much what happened in Europe in the Inquisition. So I wanted to write about that. And so I did.
In the cool of the evening, they used to gather neath the stars in the meadow circle near an old oak tree. At the times appointed by the seasons of the year and the phases of the moon, in the center stood a woman equal with the others, respected for her worth. One of the many we call the witches, the healers and the teachers of the wisdom of the earth. And the people grew through the knowledge she gave them, herbs to heal their bodies, spells to make their spirits whole. Can't you hear them chanting healing incantations, calling forth the wise ones, celebrating in dance and song? As a star to Diana, Hecate to Demeter, Kali, Inanna. Isis a star to Diana, Hecate to Demeter, Kali, Inanna. Isis a star to Diana, Hecate to Demeter, Kali, Inanna. They were those who came to power through domination, and they bonded in the worship of a dead man on a cross. They sought control of the common people by demanding allegiance to the Church of Rome. And the Pope declared an inquisition. It was war against the women whose power they feared. In this holocaust against the nature people, 9 million European women died. And the tale is told of those who by the hundreds, holding together, chose their death in the sea, while chanting the praises of the mother goddess, a refusal of betrayal. Women were dying to be free.
is a witch. And the men still burn her, stripping her down with mining and the poisons of their war. So to us, the earth is a healer, a teacher, a mother, a weaver of a web of light that keeps us all alive. She gives us the vision to see through the chaos. She gives us the courage. It is our will to survive.
Is there a best-known song by Rumors of the Big Wave?
I would have to say probably Burning Times has gotten the most exposure around the world.
I've read that Burning Times was called the unofficial pagan national anthem.
I know. That's the other thing, you know. I wrote that one song and I became, you know, the pagan anthem writer. And, you know, my spirituality, you know, evolves, you know, along with other parts of me. And I'm, you know, I'm drawn to wisdom from a variety of sources that have been very popular in the pagan scene. And I appreciate that. I've met wonderful people through that community.
How do you think the focus of your music evolved from Walls to Roses to Rumors of the Big Wave?
Well, you know, over time there's all these different influences come in, and I think I matured as a person and as a songwriter, and my influences grew. You know, I was really influenced by, gosh, people like the Talking Heads. I loved the Talking Heads.